Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. By the fifth day of the last week in the life of Jesus before his death, time was running short. There was still much to be done and little time in which to do it. It was the Passover season, the most celebrated of all the Jewish holidays. Jerusalem was extremely crowded with Jews from all over the world who had come for the Passover. Jesus spent most of his days in the city and then would retire in the evenings to the little community named Bethany. Mark 14 tells us, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12." Now from the record we learn that Jesus, of course he was a Jew, he faithfully kept the Passover, living as he did under the law of Moses. The events that were to soon occur were planned and intended. The entire procedure had been determined from the start. The disciples could locate a proper place from a man carrying water. And this was an unusual sight in Jerusalem because it seems that women were usually the ones that did that task. When evening fell, we find Jesus with his chosen 12 alone and together in the upper room, away from the throng, ready to attend to this sacred observance and to engage in other spiritual events that are more meaningful than his disciples could realize at that particular moment. The atmosphere of the gathering was one that one might not have expected. You might think it'd be a calm and quiet situation characterized by peace and relaxation among those who were close and intimate friends, but not so. It was tension shrouded with mystery and the air of impending disaster, as if they expected the unexpected. This was because Christ had already foretold the events that would come to pass back in Matthew chapter 20. They were now in the very city where such things were to occur. The somber mood of Jesus on their journey added to the mystery of the environment. For Jesus, it was a trying hour, especially only he knew what faced him, because he also knew the attitude and the actions that his disciples would take. These things added to his distress. And what was the situation regarding the 12? Well, there was strife among them over who would be the greatest after his departure. Even in the shadow of the cross, the disciples seemed to exhibit more concern for their personal ambitions, having jealousy possibly one for another, than for concern for the coming grief and the pain of Christ. In order to teach the vanity of such pride and impress the lesson of humility upon them, Jesus washed his disciples' feet, teaching them that service, rather than desire for personal greatness, was the desired accomplishment in life. But later, Jesus would be betrayed by one of his own company, even one who had come to the Passover supper with him. And Peter also, in spite of his boasting to the contrary, and doubtless his boasts were uttered with good intentions that he would never deny the Lord, he did deny the Lord, and he did it not once, but three times. The situation in the upper room was unique because of the distressing heaviness on the Lord and the failure of the disciples to grasp the seriousness of all of these events. Well, into this array of circumstances, we read of a deliberate and far-reaching action taken by Jesus. I read to you from Matthew 26, beginning with verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it, and gave to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink it henceforth from this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now the Apostle Paul wrote about this event when he was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. Paul said, For I have received of the Lord that which I have also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now these very simple verses record the institution of the Lord's Supper. And it was a simple action, taking bread, blessing it, that is, giving thanks for it, as Luke tells us, giving it to the apostles, and following the similar routine with the fruit of the vine. Now, the ingredients were unleavened bread, and that was the kind of bread, of course, that was used at the Passover Supper. And the fruit of the wine, there was no evidence whatever that it was a fermented wine. It is pathetic that so many people come forward trying to justify their drinking of their booze about Jesus making water into wine. The word wine does not necessarily mean an intoxicating drink at all. It could refer to unfermented wine as well. And Jesus Christ would not violate the teaching of the prophets to give strong drink to his neighbor. There is no excuse for people distorting the great miracle of Christ of turning water to wine to try to justify their drinking of their liquors. But nonetheless, the fruit of the vine here was offered, and these ingredients did not become, and never did become, the literal body and blood of Jesus. Even after his prayer of thanks, the substance of the bread and the fruit of the vine had not changed. It was still called bread. It was still called the fruit of the vine. This was but a symbolic action by Jesus, and these ingredients represented his body and blood. It was to be partaken, he said, in memory of him. To further affirm that it was a memorial that he was establishing, twice the Apostle Paul said, This do in remembrance of me. You see, friend, the Lord's Supper commemorates Christ and what he had come to do on the behalf of mankind in delivering man from sin. And while the Lord's Supper was instituted at the observance of the last Passover, the two are not to be confused, even though there are certain similarities. The Passover was to serve in remembrance of the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, Exodus chapter 12. The feast that would keep alive the memory of the Israelites, what God did for them on that night of deliverance. It stood as a silent witness of liberation through the blood of the Passover lamb that had been sprinkled about their door. Jesus himself went forth as a sacrifice for sin. He is our Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says about Christ, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist had to say about the Christ. You see, friend, Christ is the means of salvation. He's the means of liberation and redemption from sin. Without him there would be no freedom from the wages of sin, which is death. His death brought reconciliation between man and God, Ephesians 2:16. And this very simple but meaningful memorial acknowledges him and what he did. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says it is to show or to proclaim the Lord's death. Here is an announcement, official proclamation. What is hereby proclaimed by this supper? Primarily, it proclaims Christ and all the things pertaining to him, of course, with emphasis upon his death. That it was to be observed until he comes again implies his resurrection and his ultimate return. The Lord's Supper sends forth the publication of these things, from his birth in Bethlehem until his return someday. And when the Christian partakes of the Lord's Supper, he does so in memory of Christ and all about him. He proclaims his faith in Christ as Savior, as God's offering, as reigning King and the coming Lord. But finally, let me suggest to you, the Lord's Supper is a reminder of the reality of sin and a reminder of God's love for man to save him from sin, John 3:16. The Lord's Supper recalls to the mind of our enslavement to the destructive power of sin. It is the sinfulness of mankind that made the cross necessary. The very sacrifice of the Lord's Supper commemorates it was for us. Behind the suffering of his sacrifice was the hopelessness of sin for humanity. They were doomed to an eternal hell. But God recognized this, and he provided for man through Jesus Christ. Would you please notice in Romans chapter 5, the writing of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Friend, the Lord's Supper is a memorial. It is in remembrance of the one who came and died so that we might be saved. The Lord's Supper commemorates the body of Christ as it hung on the cross. It commemorates his blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. But you keep in mind, while God looked upon man in his sinful and hopeless and doomed and damned condition in his sin, God so loved the world, he so loved mankind, that Jesus Christ came to this earth and he fulfilled his mission in providing a way of salvation for you and for me. And the Lord's Supper that he instituted on this night in the presence of his apostles, it is to declare to all the world, he is the Son of God, he is the sacrifice for our sins, he is our Savior, and that God loves us and wants us to be saved. Truly, the Lord's Supper is a memorial and to many things, but it is also a memorial to the love of God for sinful man. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.